The New Zealand Film Commission's CEO, Annabelle Sheehan, is stepping away from the role after 3 years leading the agency. Annabelle has been undergoing treatment for breast cancer over the past 6 months and has decided to return home to Australia to complete her treatment there and focus on her family. But as Simon Morris points out, she's going out on a high with hit movies like Cousins.
Where are you from, dear?
I'm from the Mercy Home for Desolate Children.
What about your people?
They didn't want to keep me. I tried to find you, Mata.
We all did.
When Annabelle Sheehan took over the Film Commission 3 years ago, she had no idea quite how tumultuous those years were going to be for the industry, for the country, and for her personally. In a year of a global pandemic and the illness that forced Annabelle to leave the job early, it was also one of the most successful 12 months our film industry has had for years. From the Oscar-winning Jojo Rabbit to box office hits Savage, 660 and Cousins. Annabelle Sheehan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Simon.
Well, it's been a pretty wild ride. Right, hasn't it? The last 12 months particularly.
Yes, it's been a very big year for New Zealand. A lot of stuff has happened, and I think we're really grateful to the government for supporting the screen sector through COVID. The recovery funds that have contributed to projects being able to get back up and running, and the other forms of support that have come through.
Well, there was mainly two sorts of support required. One of them, as you say, was to keep the projects going during this difficult time, but also to just keep people going during that time as well. And it's clearly paid off. There is so much work around the place at the moment with a lot of people employed.
Yep. At the time that the pandemic caused the shutdown, there were 47 productions, New Zealand productions, in various forms. 42 of those 47 have now been able to be completed or are no longer held up by COVID, and a few others are still making their way to completion. So it's been a great job of turning around what was a really significant challenge for the screen sector and incredibly stressful for everybody, for people working on international as well.
That's the other half of the double, really, isn't it? So much overseas work. Now, the two big priority ones were Lord of the Rings up in Auckland and the Avatar films down here in Wellington. But there are a whole lot of other ones turning up. There's Netflix productions, there's co-productions coming on. Can we sustain that? Can we crew it? And more to the point, can we studio it?
Well, you know, it's been interesting, steady rise of production across the last 5 years, and in particular since the Screen Production Grant came in. In terms of local production, we're seeing an increase of production from, in the first year, I think it was triggered $12 million worth of spend in New Zealand. Fine, last year it was around about $76 million. International, it's estimated we'll probably have about an $800 million spend from international triggered by the grant.
That's money that they're spending in this country.
Money they're spending in this country, of which probably about 60% would go into other sectors, into sort of spend on accommodation and transport. And definitely a lot of cups of coffee. What's been amazing is the resilience of filmmakers, of directors, of writers and producers in New Zealand who have been able to step up and keep their productions going, who've completed their productions, and let's all get excited about the projects that have then been released in this time.
Well, I want to talk about that because they seem to have overdone it. Last year, I have never seen so many New Zealand productions out in a year. I mean, we mentioned it in the introduction where we talked about Jojo Rabbit, which was the year before, but it won its Oscar at the beginning of the year. And then this string of really good New Zealand films and, more importantly, really successful New Zealand films.
The thing is that our filmmakers, our directors and writers and producers all work towards excellence. They want their films to succeed, and it is really challenging to enter the marketplace. In terms of when they're released, that's also difficult, and then COVID created some real challenges. So the releases, of course, paused for a while. Then we didn't have global films in the mix as well, but our films have done really well in New Zealand.
So I want to put in a heads up, basically, to Vicky Pope, who I think kicked off the whole post-COVID release of New Zealand films, saying we could either do what they're doing overseas, which is hold it back until we can open cinemas, or say, look, this is an opportunity. With all these overseas movies not coming out, let's put Savage out now and see what happens.
Yeah.
Savage blitzed the cinemas, and then it was followed by other ones. This Town was a big hit. 660 was a hit. The Dawn Raid film was a big hit. Films like Baby Done and Reunion, All good films.
All great films. And currently at the moment, Cousins once again cracked 1 million at the box office, which is a very prestigious group of films that have managed to do that. I think it's creeping up into the 1.3s or 1.4s now. And that's emblematic of the kind of film that's so delightful to see being successful. It's such a strong story, a strong Māori story. Two wahine Māori who are so strong in Briar Gray-Smith and also Ainsley Gardner. Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
It was fantastic. One thing you couldn't help noticing about a lot of the films that are coming out is that they are still disproportionately blokey. And that was clearly an issue for you when you first took over the job. You wanted a lot more diversity than you were seeing at that stage.
Well, I think it was really important because on a global scale, everybody is looking for diversity, for difference, for uniqueness. And so it's a really important thing that people want to see their community on screen and they want to hear the stories of their community. So to really represent the fullness of New Zealand society through filmmakers and what's on screen. So indeed, in my very first board meeting, I guess, we got through the 125 Fund, which was a fund for women directors. We've funded three films through that fund and those three films have been completed and they'll be being released in the next year. So that's Poppy, The Justice of Bunny King and also Going. So three really great movies coming through and we're working really hard to reach that target of 50-50 for women in terms of production and development. You'll always get ups and downs in that because years and years of development goes into the making of a film.
Is the purpose of diversity to aim at that specific community or is it because it makes it a more interesting thing for the general population?
Absolutely. I think it is the latter, that people have a hunger for stories from all sorts of different voices.
Tell me another story. Tell me a different story.
Tell me something new. And so if you just went off the basis of demand and consumer interests, you know, literally were commercial about it, you would certainly want to be much more diverse. And that's being proven in Hollywood and globally all the time in terms of the changes to the Oscar system, etc. It just is the system now. And yet it's still quite a lot of work. And you also want to do it because it's just great to hear voices that we used not to hear so much of.
I think one of the slight problems as far as getting more women directors is the fact that two of our best women directors were tied up working for overseas productions. That's Nikki Caro and Roseanne Liang, who were busy doing outside stuff and not making a New Zealand film at that stage.
Well, it's so great that Roseanne came and shot her film here in New Zealand, and as did Nikki Caro shoot Mulan here in New Zealand.
You mentioned the 125 Fund to generate more women-driven projects, but also there was Te Rautaki Māori, which was getting more Māori involved in filmmaking.
Well, you have to pay tribute to preceding CEOs and staff who'd already set that up. So I arrived to have the Rautaki Māori or Māori screen strategy in effect written and passed by the board in the year prior. And so what I was interested to do was to augment that strategy with funds. So we came up with the $2.5 million Te Reo Fund, which runs every year. And the first of those films has been made and it's called Muru.
I mean, that seems to be enough to develop one film. It doesn't sound like it's going to be enough to do much more.
All right, so that's for one film. Yeah, $2.5 million production investment. We've probably spent around about $860,000 on development across the last 3 years for Māori projects. Mm. And then there's just generally been an increase in Māori projects into the general fund in any case. So Cousins came into the general fund. It's gone from, you know, any film with maybe one or more Māori filmmakers in key creative roles, director, writer, producer, was about 44% of films we funded in 2018, and it's now 69% of films we fund. So really strong showing of Māori filmmakers either in teams, sometimes 2 out of 3 of producer, writer, director are Māori. And so we're just generally seeing an increase of filmmakers, of the films about New Zealand at the box office, the top 10, 6 of those are by or about Māori.
Well, see, that's the thing. Wearing my devil's advocate hat, I was thinking, well, why do they need it? I mean, I look at Whale Rider, Boy, Waru, I look at Dark Horse, I look at Cousins, I look at Once Were Warriors. Most of our most successful films have, if not been extremely Māori, have been certainly 50-50 Māori, you know.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue regarding how to balance funds for any agency. And I do think it's really important that there hasn't been enough funding to support that success, as it were, and that it, imagine if there was more funds to support that success. But in any case, there has always been a lot of funding for non-Māori filmmakers. We've really also got to look much more strongly at our Asia-Pacific filmmakers, and we've been making some steps towards that, and we're hoping to expand that. We're really proud of PASC, the Pan-Asian Screen Coalition. You know, that that's a fantastic group that's working so hard. And looking at Roseanne Liang's success and the short films that we're funding are showing more of the Asia-Pacific filmmakers in there.
Another of the big issues that really came up during your tenure, Annabelle, was the closing gap between cinema movies and TV. I mean, the answer is always Netflix. That's where things are aimed at now. I mean, they will get a cinema release quite often, but Netflix seems to be the end of the road for just about all of these projects that you're talking about.
Yeah, a lot of projects will get a pickup from a streamer. So not just Netflix, but we'll see HBO Max will pick up a film of ours on its way to release. So yes, certainly Netflix has featured a lot of pickups like Breaker Upperers or Tickled. Meritamita, you know, Happy Meters film, The Golf, Quimbo's Quest, they're all on Netflix, and that's great. But we'll also be seeing the kind of impact of the other streamers like Apple TV and Disney Plus. We've actually held 90 or so meetings of New Zealand filmmakers with streamers to be able to talk about their projects and find out what they're looking for.
Is there a difference between a film that's aimed at home consumption and a movie that's aimed at cinema consumption? I'm guessing not so much now.
I believe you're right that you are starting to see what people might call highly cinematic projects not get a run at the cinemas. Obviously, a hybrid is great, and I believe that people love to go to the cinema and they love to sit in groups and see movies on the big screen. So I think there'll always be this partnership or could be a continuation of some of the partnerships we've seen of films getting a theatrical and then going on Netflix.
I know that you set up a project about how to get New Zealand films to the world, and I guess that was also in partnership with some of the TV producers as well, where they were trying to get multi-episode films up as well. The gap between TV, which is used to be New Zealand On Air exclusively, and film, which used to be you guys exclusively, there's a fairly blurry area in the middle now, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there's a number of steps that you'd see that in the way the Film Commission has been part of that journey is, if you look at the Screen Production Grant for New Zealand, that has always allowed series drama to come in. And that has increased over the last 3 to 5 years. The actual percentage of New Zealand Screen Production Grant that triggers spend has increased for series drama in the last 5 years, and we, the Film Commission, administer that. Then we had Dramas to the World, the series drama workshop in 2019. It takes a few years. A number of those series dramas have been to markets and been pitched and be moving to their next step. And then if you move to now what we call the Premium Drama Fund, which is the $50 million fund that we're doing in partnership with NZ On Air and
Now, remind me, because I have to say that I lose track sometimes with all these different funds.
Yep.
The Premium Fund, what's that for particularly?
So it's for series and feature.
So it's both.
Both. And it's factual and drama and animation. You could come in with anything. And we end up getting 38 applications, so of really high-quality projects. There's going to be two rounds. The first round is nearly complete and will be finalised in early May, and then potentially second round announcing later in the year and wrapping up around about this time next year. The aim of it is to both attract or engage with New Zealand audiences and international audiences. It's trying to get people to be ambitious for a step change in screen production in New Zealand, telling whatever story a New Zealander wants to tell, and certainly telling New Zealand stories.
One of the complaints that the Film Commission has had in its entire length of career has been mainly from disgruntled filmmakers who didn't think that they were getting enough attention, saying, oh, there's just a lot of box ticking going on. You have to make sure that each of the elements that you put in has to have X amount of women, X amount of Maori content, X amount of Asian Pacific now, I guess, rather than this is a good, strong story and it happens to have these two people in it.
I think NZ On Air and the Film Commission seek to draw in new storytellers. There's no doubt about that. However, we're also, as you know, still been funding for some time projects by men and by Anglo-Saxon people. You know, there's a real mix of projects that will be funded. And in trying to balance all those criteria, sometimes it's good to go, okay, well, what does the market think? Is there a significant market attachment to that project so that it really will engage with New Zealanders and will engage with the rest of the world? Sometimes it's just important to take a risk on something that's really different and, you know, might not have as much market attachment. everyone tries as hard as they can to make a real mix to the slate that comes out per annum from the Film Commission. Film also is very complex to finance. Mm. And so that's a big shift if people have been working with a simpler system and then suddenly come into the Film Commission and you've got a multi-party, lots of different investors. You've got a lot of different contracting, a lot of different masters on your project.
Funding of film is just a huge gamble. Perfect example in a way of how risky this thing is Taika. Every single one of Taika's films, if you look at the one-line description of it, you think, well, that's not going to fly. Jojo Rabbit, who wants to see the wacky Hitler? At the moment, he's currently just finished doing a thing about the least successful soccer team in the history of soccer. Only Taika would think that that would be a good idea, and it probably will work. But it is a gamble. There's a lot of gambling going on there.
And it's hard to, you know, an agency has to do its best to try and show what its criteria are, to be as transparent as possible, to support people. And especially the applicants to the Film Commission are, you know, every single application is a different shape and involves different issues and considerations. So, yeah, it's a lot of thinking and a lot of people to work with the filmmakers.
One thing that's not a guess, though, is how many people are involved in making a film and how you go about making them. There are a large number of potential studios attempting to get up. I mean, there's one in Wanaka, I know. There's one in Upper Hutt, I think. There's a couple happening in Auckland. What can you tell me about any of these projects, and are they a good idea?
Look, I think you even referenced it before, the infrastructure around a surging screen sector. How do you plan for that? How do you build it so it's the right amount? The film industry has been known for sort of feast and famine, ups and downs for years. Potentially with series drama, it's more sustainable, more consistent. And we're seeing, as it surged in New Zealand, including even in the year of COVID, really you get new waves of crew building up to join that group. You get people converting warehouses, etc. It is really great to try and put a plan to that in terms of assessing whether some additional built infrastructure in one of the regional hubs.
Well, in the South Island in particular, I mean, the South Island is laying out on a plate some of the greatest exteriors you can imagine, but you've still got to, you've got to set up sets and you've got to set up studios.
And it's great to see that there's been, you know, a lot of good production going on in the South Island, like in recent times, you know, Under the Vines, a series shooting down in Otago region, Power of the Dog shot down there. There's always strong international production going on down there as well.
Well, are they demanding more studios? What's the feedback from the people who actually you'd think would be building the demand?
Well, certain projects, like a big action picture, it has to have significant studio space. But there's lots of projects that are used to shooting all over the world, used to creating spaces to shoot, locations, converting warehouses. It's not surprising to them to find that they've got to work around what's available in smaller towns that have other great advantages. The issue is, you know, should it be created or should the market build it and bring it?
Do you encourage new talent to come up and make their first movie? I mean, apart from anything else, they're cheaper than getting existing talent and just pushing them. You think of the people who made Dark Horse, the people who made Bell Bird, these sort of people there who you really want to see their next film.
Yeah, so we did a tiering system in the first year that I was here. Our talent department, who looks after professional development, mentorships, attachments and short film production. Okay, should it always be about the emerging filmmaker or the mid-career filmmaker or the established? You know, how do you decide where you input? And it's really important. Like a lot of directors just statistically only get to make one film. And yet, as you say, we want to see their second film. What could we do to support that? How could you support a director into their second film?
Well, I just keep thinking of the golden age of Hollywood where the best directors made a film a year. You want it while you're coming off the back of something you really enjoyed.
Yeah, and we, the Film Commission, put investment money into approximately anything from, let's say, 9 to 14 films a year. When you've got a lot of filmmakers out there, they're not going to get to make a film every year if the Film Commission's the only support for those filmmakers. So how do we make it possible? Certainly the Screen Production Grant, you'll see features that don't use the Film Commission's equity funding and go straight to, you know, the support of the grant. But still, it is a small number per annum, and that's what contributes to that.
Looking back over the last 3 years, what have been the highlights for you?
Well, the thing I'm most proud of is the team, the leadership team that I have at the Film Commission and the staff. Like, it's a great group of people, and all the things that we've done across the last 3 years, we've done together, and I'm really proud of how hard they work. I think it's hard for people to know what goes on inside. We should do tours of the film office because people work really hard. They're very passionate. I'm really proud of that, of being able to work with this great team. So I'll miss that.
Outgoing CEO of the New Zealand Film Commission, Annabelle Sheehan, talking with Simon Morris, whose last day in the office will be May 21st, and the search for a new CEO starts this week.